let's do the thing.
Hey everybody.
Oh, we're recording now.
I just hit record.
You didn't even warn me or nothing.
When have I ever warned
it's just
you?
Just like, talk. Hi everybody.
At least I normally say, hey everybody. There are those few occasions where I just hit record while you're right in the middle of some god-awful, terrifying story. And we only get like the last two sentences, and then it's like, welcome to the show everybody. And Tarv's like, what the fuck is wrong with Mike?
And then I looked back in the toilet and there was a hand. Hi everybody. It's Halloween, I can't
anyway,
make jokes.
Anyways, and that's how Mike's mom became his uncle. What? Happy Halloween, and welcome to the Room Full of Nerd Stuff Spooktacular.
Even though I think this will go up on November 1st?
No, because Friday is Halloween.
Okay, I thought Halloween was on a Thursday this year.
No, because Thursday is my birthday, and then Friday is Halloween. We're recording this on a Sunday because I stupidly made birthday plans and then realized we didn't have a podcast recorded.
Yay!
So this is a little earlier planning in the week for us. Yeah. Fail upwards.
Speaking of poor planning, I don't have my web browser open that we will inevitably need.
So this is a rare recorded on a Sunday edition of Room Full of Nerd Stuff.
So rare that I think this is the first time it's happened.
We usually record, it's been Wednesdays for the past few months, and Wednesdays work. We were doing it on Tuesdays for a little while because I was like, that gives me three whole days where I have plenty of time to put it together, and then was still putting it together Thursday night, so it didn't really matter.
Well, it's a lot easier than having to record on Thursday night and then you staying up till 4 or 5 in the morning trying to edit it together.
Right. Because I don't know if we've ever actually, I know we've mentioned that you and I aren't like even remotely close to each other, but Mike lives in Portland and with his parents, and we have to wait for his parents to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Not so he doesn't disturb them, but so they don't just like wander into the room while he's recording.
Well, I don't know if it's a passive aggressive thing or just what it is, but they seem to know when I'm doing stuff, and that is when they need to make the most noise possible. Like, earlier this year, WrestleMania. Matt was over here, yeah. We were watching WrestleMania, and we're just sitting there watching the show, chilling, and my dad comes in. He's like, why don't you guys open the windows? It's hot in here. I'm like, all right, whatever, to get him off my back. Open the window. He immediately goes outside and starts mowing the lawn.
What? Maybe he just wanted to listen to WrestleMania. Why don't you guys crank that up real loud?
Like, you know, while you're watching this show that you've been waiting 3 months to watch, I'm going to open up all the windows and mow the lawn right next to them. You're welcome.
Thanks, Mike's dad.
And I even asked him about it. He's like, it's not a passive-aggressive thing. The lawn needed mowing and it was hot in here. I didn't do that on purpose.
Anyways, the point of that story I was telling is that we record this at a very odd hour, by which I mean it's not terribly late for Mike, but it's 3 hours later for me than it is for Mike.
It's about 1 a.m. there right now, right?
It's quarter after 1. And on a good night where we're real productive and we get a lot of things done, we'll usually wrap up around 4, 4:30 my time. Now, that's not a problem. I am a notorious insomniac. I usually can't fall asleep before like 4 or 5. I usually push it till 6 because I'm stupid.
No, I'm pretty much the same way.
Yeah, or I'll do something like I did yesterday because I'm going up to a friend of mine's house to game Thursday, and he's got a son, and his son is like 7, 8 years old. He's just got into Team Fortress 2.
I like you say that like you're asking me. I don't know this person.
I don't know. So when we go up there before he goes to bed, I'll play for a little bit because it makes his day. He gets to play with the adults. He thinks he's awesome, so we'll game for a little bit. So he's just got into Team Fortress 2, and I'm like, I haven't played that in fucking years. So at 4 a.m. yesterday, I'm like, I'm going to log into Team Fortress and see if it's changed much. And the next thing I know, it's 6:30. It's not changed much, but it's still fucking addictive.
Yeah, it's funny how you plan on like, oh, well, I'm just going to go in there for a couple minutes and then 3 hours disappear.
I'm just going to play one round, and then, you know, that fucking sniper was dominating me. He needed to die.
And then he became your boogeyman, and you needed to chase him.
I killed him pretty quick after that. I put an arrow through his eye, and that made me feel a lot better. And then I just wanted to kill him another, you know, 15, 20 times to really send the
you
message.
You needed to learn him who's boss.
needed to learn him. I needed that guy on the internet who I'm never going to see again to learn who Boss was. So, welcome to a special Sunday recorded Halloween issue of Room Full of Nerds.
Issue?
Stuff.
Is this a magazine?
Episode. It's a podzine. We're the first ever podzine. I'm going to transcript this and just mail out copies, and that's how we're going to do the podcast from now on.
That sounds terrible, but at least you're doing it, so...
We won't get fewer read-a-listeners.
Read-a-listeners.
Mike, speaking of WrestleMania earlier, Hell in a Cell was tonight.
It was. Did you watch... I know you came in about halfway through. Did you watch the replay?
Nope, because I caught up on Power Rangers instead.
That's good.
I felt that was a better use of my time.
I still haven't watched this week's.
On
Saturday, I watched last week's.
I don't have a DVR because I feel
speaking
like
of wrestling Hell in the Cell. What about Hell in the Cell? Nothing. Power Rangers.
I don't have Power Rangers DVR. I feel like that's a little much, so I just watch it on Hulu because it actually airs commercial free on Hulu. They don't put commercials on their children's programming. I feel like that's a pretty cool thing for Hulu to do.
Something I thought was hilarious was I looked up Power Rangers episodes to catch up, and it led me to the Nickelodeon website where you can watch episodes like about 12 hours after they air.
Right.
But, and I think this is just a deal with the cable company so that they're not out any money, you need to put in what your cable provider is before they'll allow you to watch the shows. Comcast, mm-hmm. the biggest company in the country, not on their list.
Good job, Comcast. Fuck you, Comcast. I don't like you, Comcast.
Yeah, but they're gonna devour every company until they're the only one left.
So, let's see, you didn't see last week's episode, or this week's episode, but you saw last week's episode.
Yes, where they get the day off.
Yeah, for what? From what? What do they get their Power Rangers maybe 20 minutes a day?
Hey man, that 20 minutes a day, that takes a lot out of you.
I mean, do you ever think, like, they're fighting a fucking battle and Jake just looks at Troy and he's like, you know, I could really be playing, Sunset Overdrive right now.
That's the new game that the kids are playing today. What would a couple high school kids be playing in 2014? Shit, I don't know.
To really drive home how old I am, I started to say Doom. Which
man,
I don't
got
think
me
the power
to play some Doom right now. God.
I don't think the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers would have played Doom. God damn it.
I don't know. Billy might have still been playing Doom, but none of the others were.
Just ranting about sprite flicker and level design. And Zach's like, yeah, but what about that gun? Oh, it's radical.
It's more phenomenal.
It's more phenomenal. And then Zach just does a hip-hop dance, because that was every episode of Power Rangers.
I'm the black one, so I need to dance now.
I will say I have found like one recurring trend about Super Mega Force that frustrates me, and that is Noah the Master Swordsman.
Although that in that episode, I mean, I know it was stolen from the Japanese footage, but those fights were awesome.
They were so good.
It's when Power Rangers actually steals the right footage and you get a good fight. That makes me appreciate the show so much more.
You have to kind of not think about the story behind it. Because that whole episode was taken from, I think, one of the better Gokaiger stories. Mm-hmm. So you have to try to ignore the fact that they've got the really good footage. And then right before it, you have Troy swinging from a pirate ship. I was really hoping, the guy that plays Troy, I was really hoping his acting would get a little better as the series went on. But no, it's...
No, it's just as wooden as ever. Thankfully, we've only got like four more episodes with him.
Troy, here's the script. Just read this line like you are trying to have the fiercest bowel movement of your life. We'll never surrender!
We will not. You will not win. Bad person.
Where is Robo Knight? I am sad. Goofy face.
Yeah, Robo Knight, a story that we have still not gotten the conclusion of.
It shows up in this week's episode, actually.
Does it?
Oh my god, can I spoil it for you?
Return of Vrak?
Yeah, Vrak.
God, we are first nerds.
Yes, we are.
How old are you turning this week, Christopher?
Shut up,
and how
Mike.
Old am I turning in like another 2 months? And we're talking about Power Rangers and know the characters' names. God damn it. Anyway.
Vrak has kidnapped Robo Knight and Orion. Because Robo Knight is a story they have to continue, and Orion is not in the Sentai footage. and uses them to lock out he uses Orion's life force to block off the legendary powers. Because again, not in the Sentai footage. So it's an all Mega Force episode with the Ghost Ager suits and the Zords, actually. The Ghost Ager Zords make a return. But he also has
one of the Ghost Ager movies?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But he has a reprogrammed Robo Knight that he dubs Dark Robo Knight. And do you know what the difference between Robo Knight and Dark Robo Knight is?
The dark?
His visor is black.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. He's Dark Robo Knight because he thinks he's in the dark because his visor is black. He can't see shit. Who turned out the lights?
Put the blast shield down. I can't see a thing. Why I turned Robo Knight into a cross between Luke Skywalker and Skeletor.
E-Man, I can't see. God, we're such fucking losers.
Yeah. Anyway, Super Mega Force is almost over.
Almost over. Still no Tommy.
No, none of those characters show up until the last episode.
By the way, I think I figured out why they keep using the Ghost Ager suits.
Because they have them.
You and I have forgotten a very prominent fact about the Legend War that they are adapting for the end of Super Mega Force.
What's that?
It's not a Gokaiger movie. It's a Ghost Ager movie. It came out before Gokaiger.
Did it?
Yes. Because remember, the plot of Gokaiger was after the Legend War. God, we're such fucking nerds. After the Legend War, they all lost their powers, and that's when the Gokaiger showed up.
Hang on. I'm looking this up right now. Great radio.
I think it's called the 99 Sentai Legend War or something.
Yeah, but that came out in the middle of Gokaiger. I remember I was watching Gokaiger and was like, oh, hey, they made a movie for it. I should try to find this.
Oh, here we go. The Great Legend War, which was the Zanyak Empire, and it had the first 34 Sentai teams. But the Gokaiger weren't there yet.
Huh.
And then they did another one kind of in between where the Gokaiger did show up. I can't remember the details. But anyways.
It's a thing.
Here's what you need to know, Mike. I'm right.
I'm not going to say that you're wrong because I don't know enough about this to really dispute you.
Like, I'm on Ranger Wiki and I'm like, oh god, okay, these people are bigger nerds than me.
Yeah, Gokaiger, Ghost Seizure, Super Sentai, 199 Hero Great Battle.
Mm-hmm.
That was the movie.
There was, yeah. Yep. Anyways, it's primarily a Ghost Seizure movie. Is it Ghost Seizure? Ghost Seizure?
I've always said Ghost Seizure.
It's, yeah.
But I don't know Japanese. Shit. I failed Japanese.
I don't know. I didn't take Japanese. I barely took Spanish.
But
I speak two languages, English and fuck you.
There was a thing I was going to say, and now I can't remember.
There was a thing, and now there's not a thing. There, and it's gone. Mike, did you watch the entirety of Hell in a Cell?
I did.
Do you regret that decision?
No.
No?
No. Because with the exception of certain parts of the show, it was a decent show. I've already stated that my $9.99 is going towards watching NXT, and the pay-per-views are an added thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel ripped off, because it's like, I'm getting free pay-per-views as far as I'm concerned, and I'm paying for this other really good show.
That's the spirit. Let's run down these matches.
Yay.
And you can give us a rundown of them, because I got home just in time for Rusev versus Big Show to start.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, thank God, because I wanted to eat dinner before the main event, and proceeded to not pay attention to anything until I heard Dean Ambrose coming out. So anyways, starting at the bottom of the pile here, Nikki Bella versus Brie Bella. I believe Nikki was.
You're going out of order from the matches.
Yes, I am. I've just got a match card pulled up.
I've got them in order here.
Well, aren't you fucking special, Mike? I can get them in order, too. We could start with the pre-show match that was just kind of thrown in
that
there.
That actually did not get watched by me, so we'll skip that one.
Well, never mind. Then let's skip that and go for the 2 out of 3 falls for the Intercontinental Championship match with Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler, where Ziggler won 2-0. You don't see that very often. You do see that, but you don't see that very often.
Yeah, it's to have a 2 out of 3 falls match that end in two finishes back-to-back and not the 1-1 and, oh my god, next one's the one that counts. That's very rare.
Very rare.
I
feel like that makes Cesaro look kind of weak, though.
Well, don't know if you heard that he was doing some radio interview and said something about, I'm tired of seeing Orton and Cena. They are boring.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
He just, like, laid into the top talent, and people are like, was that a work or a shoot? And I think by losing 2-0 clean to Dolph Ziggler, of all people, it was a shoot. And he's getting punished for it.
Next week, they're going to just shave Aiden English and pray nobody notices the difference.
Hey, Aiden English, we're going to shave all your hair, and you're going to be called Cesaro now.
Hey, Aiden, what do you think of that whole Hunico becomes Sin Cara thing? Have we got a plan for you?
Oh, I don't want that to happen because that'll break up the Vaudevillains.
No, he'll still do both.
Okay.
Sort of like how you would have Hunico show up and Sin Cara show up so they could go, oh no, Hunico's a totally different guy.
They're different people.
They're different guys.
As long as the Vaudevillains totally can still be a thing, I'm fine with that.
So weird. Why is Cesaro coming out and acting like a 1920s villain?
Yeah, Cesaro grows like a giant handlebar mustache and he's got like a top hat and a cape, and he's like the old villain that's tying women up to the train tracks and shit.
This is so weird. What's he doing with AJ? She seems to be enjoying it.
Oh god
damn it. Please don't do that, WWE.
No, do it.
You know, we wouldn't be having this problem if they had just, I don't know, pushed Cesaro while the entire audience was screaming their goddamn face off for him.
I don't even care. I'm still stuck on the idea of WWE becoming some like 1920s silent movie.
Next up, the match I mentioned out of order and then Mike had a fucking shit fit about it. Brie Bella versus Nikki
Jesus.
Bella. Loser must be the winner's personal assistant for 30 days.
Yeah, that
kicking off what I'm sure is going to be the most electrifying story in sports entertainment for the next, let's be honest, 12 days before something happens.
And it already started because after Nikki won the match, because
shrug,
Cena is why. Brie was putting Nikki's bags in the back of her car, and Nikki comes out and she like has a smoothie and is like, did you make this correctly? You put in 3 bananas, 4 blueberries, and 5 strawberries. And he's like, yes, I did everything the way you said. And then she dumps it over Brie's head and says, okay, now go make me another one.
So do you think Brie Bella is going to exercise the option to quit WWE?
I think that she's going to try, and then they're going to do the whole, you quit once before, you're going to quit again. You're a quitter. And
just like CM Punk. No, wait. God damn it. Which one are you fucking again?
Which one did you marry? Which indie nonsense character did you marry?
There's a part of me that dreads that this is them trying to find a way to write Brie out, and Brian is about to have to go through surgery again. But I can't tell, because every once in a while they do this bullshit surgery hype nonsense just so they can go, surprise, not really, look who's back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. I also wouldn't be surprised to see just some shenanigans and a bunch of Divas tag matches culminating in, I don't know, Survivor Series.
Yeah, it's probably going to, like, Brie'll just put team up with it, and then they're going to have, like, a sister versus sister team thing and blah, blah, blah.
Team Brie mode versus team Cena's bitch? I don't know.
Team Plastic.
What do you think of Brie Bella's theme, by the way?
That's awful.
Isn't it, though?
I never, until tonight, really understood what it was saying at the beginning, and then I realized it was Brie mode in, like, some awful auto-tuned robot voice, and, oh.
the like hyper modulated computer yeah. voice. An awful robot voice would be better.
Raymond. And then it starts quacking or something. Techno chicken. Free song is the Techno Chicken song.
Techno Chicken feels like a gimmick they should be taking advantage of in the WWE.
Be like a robot gobbledygooker.
It's they'll bill it as the offspring of the Gooker and Max Moon. it's just the Gooker wearing Max Moon's ring gear. WWE, book it.
Couldn't be worse than the bunny. Next,
now that you've said it, tag champ match next, the Usos versus Gold and Stardust. Hey, do you remember that magical period where there were more than two tag teams in the WWE?
That was a good time.
That was a great 3 months.
Yeah, when like that first initial Triple H is being groomed to take over and he's gonna reinvent the tag team division and nope.
You had Goldust and Cody Rhodes, you had Hell No, you had the Rhodes Scholars for far too brief of a period there. New Age Outlaws came back to fill that veteran role, mm-hmm. and now the Usos and Golden Stardust have had this same match for the past 3 months.
Yep. On pay-per-view, on Raw, it's just been like every now and again they'll throw in the U.S. or Intercontinental Champion and whoever they're feuding with at that period.
Because, I mean, like, I think Raw for the past month, the second match of the show has been every week. The Usos and Dolph Ziggler versus Gold and Stardust and Cesaro. Mm-hmm. Although now it probably won't be Cesaro. It'll be Aiden English and a giant handlebar mustache. Gold and Stardust retained for reasons.
Yes, because why not? Because they're the gold ones and they need the gold belts, even though they're copper and look like pennies.
We got to have the cosmic key that we're never going to reference again once we get it.
But they referenced it this last week on Raw, but it's still like now it's just Cody rambling.
It's not really a reference if it's just Cody going, "Cosmic Key, I have a really hot wife and I have a stupid gimmick."
Even though the gimmick of Stardust has started to grow on me.
It has, but that's because Cody Rhodes is so goddamn good at everything he does. Yeah. Somebody pointed out recently, because they were doing a thread, it was superstars who clearly look better than their parents at the same age. And somebody referenced an old dashing Cody Rhodes promo where he was talking about his looks, and he was like, "It's not genetics. Have you seen my father?"
And that's true.
Oh, Dusty Rhodes is a scary man. And now that all those years of blading have caught up and everything's in high definition, he looks like a potato.
Yeah, now that he's like lost a ton of weight, but he's still got those blade scars just etched into his forehead.
Oh, that's one reason I'm glad blading is not as prevalent. Anyways, next up, Hell in a Cell match, John Cena versus Randy Orton. It's like two bottles of NyQuil put in a locked cage and told to fight to see who's going to put you to sleep first. That being said, I cannot put words to how elated I am that this was not the main event.
Yeah, if this was the main event and Cena won like he did, then the internet would have exploded.
I mean, I was even saying this afternoon right before I went into work, I was like, it would show a lot of faith in new talent if they put Ambrose and Rollins in the main event, which is why it's such a goddamn shame that it's probably going to be the opener. But no! So good on them. How did this one end, Mike?
I made the point during the match that I don't have a problem necessarily with kicking out of finishing moves for really big matches, but they did it 5 times in this match.
The one time I can think of when that was acceptable, Michaels versus Undertaker, especially the second match, when that was like a big match with everything on the line at the scale of that.
Right. But it's like two guys. Matches like that, like big title WrestleMania matches or things like that, where it's a big match. Then you where can you do get, it once, maybe twice.
Where you get into it and you can like hear the crowd getting in, the crowd going, "Ah, fuck," you know, when they kick out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, some of the, like I still remember watching the second Taker Michaels match when Michaels kicked out of that second Tombstone Piledriver. And the friend I was watching it with just got up, started pacing around the room like, they're going to fucking let him win the call. Oh, they're going to let this motherfucker break the streak. Oh. Yeah, this is not a match where that needs to happen.
Not that many times.
No.
But I said it last week in the podcast that it's like the sell means nothing anymore. And this match proved it. If it was a no DQ match with no cage around it, it would have been the exact same match. They didn't use the cage hardly at all. Another thing that I want to say, though, is that everyone was like, oh, goddamn it, Cena won again. But these are the same pieces of shit that go on and on about wanting to see Steve Austin back. And it's like, you don't say that John Cena can't wrestle and then clamor for Steve Austin back because he was no Dean Malenko either. It's like you don't need a super submission specialist technical wrestler to be good at what you do. I think Cena is good at what he does.
Yeah, Cena is going to be remembered as much better than he's hailed as right now once he's gone. Right now, it's he's stale. He's been in the main event picture for so goddamn long. It's just stale. He's bored of him. The guys like Austin that everybody clamors for, I don't think a lot of people realize he wasn't really around for that long. Not in the main event, at least.
No, but I mean, at his, like, if you watch his WCW stuff, he was a good technical wrestler. But yeah. Then he got hurt. In WWF, and that was before his big run. So, like, all the great stuff that people remember from Steve Austin, he didn't do much more than punches, kicks, a couple suplexes here and there, Thez Press Stunner. That's all he did. Go back and watch it. I dare you to show me a match where he did another move after Owen hurt him. So don't sit there and go, ooh, five moves of Doom, John Cena, meh.
Thank you for that guest commentary, Mr. Cornette. Flipper punch! Flip the hair.
You're not saying fuck near enough in this. The fucking flipper punch, the fucking hair, fucking side slam.
You got a fucking Diet Sprite, that thing? Next up. Oh, yeah, by the way, John Cena won, so now he gets to have a rematch with Brock Lesnar. At some point, we don't know when. Maybe Survivor Series, maybe the Royal Rumble, maybe never. By the way, as you pointed out, you had mentioned... you were talking about pay-per-views without a title defense or the champ even at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned Bryan was one. They didn't do it when they weren't sure if Bryan was going to be coming right back or not.
Right, that was at Payback. But he still showed up at the show.
There was one or two when Punk had his reign, too, I remember. I can't remember which pay-per-views because he had that knee injury.
Mm.
So I think there was at least one pay-per-view around then where he couldn't... defend.
But I'm wondering, like, when was the last time the champ didn't even show up at the show?
Yeah, like, didn't even show up.
I can't remember any.
Yeah, I have no idea. Let's see.
I tried going back, like, each pay-per-view, and I'm like, title match, title match, title match, and then eventually, like, I got into the middle of 2012, and I'm like, fuck it, I honestly don't care that much.
What? Oh, I'm in the wrong year. I looked at Hell in a Cell 2013, and I was like, vacant. Oh. Oh, right.
Yeah, remember that time?
Hell in a Cell 2012 was when Punk hurt his knee in that match against Ryback. And then I don't think Survivor Series had a title defense on it. Oh, no, it did. Okay, never mind. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there wasn't.
I thought, like, at some point during Punk's reign, there was, like, the tag match main events or something that he was in.
Survivor Series, or no, TLC 2012, Punk didn't have a match. There was no title defense on the card. That was instead when the main event was Ziggler versus Cena for Ziggler's Money in the Bank contract.
Oh, yes.
And also the chairs match for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think that's why you're going to have trouble with that, because there were two titles for so long.
Yeah. I mean, the WWE title's always been the one that matters.
Yeah. And then, of course, after that was the Royal Rumble, where that bullshit happened. Anyways, moving on.
Is that the bullshit United where States Rock won?
Where, no, you don't get to take the title from him. Could you imagine if they just ended it right there, like without The Rock doing that bullshit? United States Championship match, The Miz with Damian Mizdow versus Sheamus.
Highlight of this match was Damian Mizdow selling everything that Sheamus was doing to The Miz on the outside.
Was it?
Yes. When Sheamus got Miz up in the ropes to do that thing where he punches his chest, And Ms. Dow got over to the apron, laid his arms out, so he was standing right next to Miz, and, like, flinching and jerking around every time Miz got hit. And, yeah, he's out there taking bumps on the outside and just literally mimicking everything Miz was doing, either getting hit or hitting. It was brilliant.
I'm going to have to watch that one.
And then at the end, or after the match, Sheamus won. And because Miz and Miz Dow are working, so why give them a belt? Miz Dow climbed in next to Miz as he's laying there and, like, lays prone next to him. And Sheamus goes over to grab Miz and picks up his arm, and Miz Dow raises his arm. And then Sheamus, like, shakes his arm around so his hand's waving, and Miz Dow starts shaking his hand and waving it next to him and stuff. They did this whole act afterwards where Sheamus is, like, dancing Miz around, and Sandow's mimicking everything that's happening. It was great.
It should be so goddamn goofy that we hate it, but it just reaches this point where you can't help but love it.
It's the initial, like, oh, I have a stunt double thing was kind of like, eh. But, like, Miz Dow has owned it so much, and he's gone so over the top with it that it's, I can't help but love it.
Oh, next up, Rusev.
This is a big show. Yeah.
Highlight of this match, from what I saw, Lana.
Yeah, in her suit that looks like it was painted on.
Their suits always look like they're painted on. That's the best part of their gimmick. Surprise! Rusev won.
Yay.
Who do you think is going to finally beat Rusev?
Kurt Angle.
I still want that moment. I've said it so many times. I mean, just like the B-show pay-per-view, the show nobody gives a shit about. Rusev wins. Rusev stands tall. And then fucking Angle's music starts playing up. Do you know what that crowd would
do?
That'd be
awesome.
Oh. I wait for it every time. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh. I'd mark.
It'd be
mark so hard.
I made
mark
some
all,
comments
mark
about
all
that.
In my pants.
I made a comment about that like every time Rusev wins, I half hope that I will hear Kurt Angle's music, but it never
happens. I just imagine now, like, Kurt Angle sitting at home in his recliner watching the pay-per-views, and when Rusev wins, he, like, grabs his phone and plays his music, stares teary-eyed at the TV.
Starts jumping around his living room.
Da-da, you suck! Da-da, you suck!
Like, on his weekends that he has his kids, he just lines them up and, like, okay, when the song goes, you say you suck at daddy.
But daddy, we love you! Tell me
no,
I
you
suck,
don't.
Damn it! I'll break your friggin' ankle! I don't like daddy when he drinks! Daddy Jeff never says he's gonna break our ankles!
Ooh!
It went... It started kind of like, eh, and then it just went to a dark place. Daddy Jeff just breaks guitars over our heads. You want the guitar again, boy?
No, Daddy Jeff, but, no.
By the way, this week's Joe Gagne's Funtime Pro Wrestling Arcade, you ever watched it?
Mm-mm.
He's basically reviewing every wrestling game chronologically, starting with, like, the very first one. It's on episode, like, 58 now.
Is he related to the Gagne's? Like, the actual Gagne's?
I have no idea. I just know that's the name of the show. And I've watched most of them, and they're pretty solid reviews. The newest episode that came out this week, he takes a look at TNA Impact, the 2008 game.
Oh. Like, you have to specify what year the game came
well,
out.
Well, the only TNA Impact
remember
that
TNA game?
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one I've gathered from that game over the years is... Fucking gorgeous game.
Mm-hmm.
Plays like a sack of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But what was notable to me was, like, of course, the, like, very last opponent in the story mode is Jeff Jarrett.
Right.
Have you ever actually seen that match?
No.
Where Jeff Jarrett yells he's going to break your back and make you humble?
What?
Yes! Like, I had to rewind the video. I was like, was that really what the subtitle said?
I might have to, like, track down a copy of this game.
We're gonna look that up after the show and make sure.
Probably even do a Let's Play of it, because I don't think Midway's around to say you can't monetize that anymore.
That's true. We're gonna look and see how much a copy of that costs. I might be persuaded to go buy a copy of that tomorrow. My understanding is it doesn't play great, but it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be. It's just not a WWE game, so it doesn't have I don't want to say that level of polish, because it's not like the WWE games are like fucking Mario Brothers. They're not great.
What was it? 14. 13 and 14 had, at least control-wise,
I really
solid.
Enjoyed 13. 13 was the first one I seriously played. Well, no, because I had WWF Attitude on the PS1.
I remember slogging through that dog. Jesus Christ.
I didn't have an N64. I couldn't play No Mercy.
Yeah, well, my first wrestling game was Warzone on N64.
Oh.
And if you played Attitude, imagine Attitude with about 20 fewer wrestlers.
Oh, nice.
I think there was like 8 guys in it. And then like Attitude came out, and I was like, oh, shit, I love Warzone, so I'll play Attitude. And my God. Yeah.
Wrestling games are not hard to come by that are good. I liked 13. I bought it because, of course, I'm such a huge fucking CM Punk mark, and he was such a big part of that one.
Such a big part. He was on the cover. Chill out, Chris.
He was on the cover.
As far as the actual in-game content goes,
actual
he had
in-game.
No bigger part than any other person in it.
Yeah, they couldn't afford any more CM Punk character slots. They had to fit 3 versions of Triple H in there.
Hey, one of them was Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
One of them was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. I'm
completely
sorry.
Different.
Completely different.
Because he bows instead of pointing at his crotch.
Next up, the Divas Championship.
Oh yeah, we just kind of went right through Rusev and Big Show.
Oh yeah, Rusev won. Fuck it, who gives a shit?
It was a terrible match.
When a match is so bad that you think to yourself, the best thing that can happen right now is broken, alcoholic, just train wreck Kurt Angle comes out to the ring. The only way it could get any worse would be if like Jeff Jarrett himself wandered out and you were like, well, it's something.
I'd love even
championship.
That. If Angle's music hit and Jeff Jarrett came out with a guitar.
Oh, God, that would actually be awesome.
Especially if I had Karen with him. Like, I stole your wife and now I stole your music.
Fuck you, Kurt.
And I stole your spot on WWE's roster.
I can still work a full-time contract. I'm not an idiot.
Poor Kurt Angle.
Oh, this is why we don't get the book. Divas Championship match. Paige versus AJ Lee. We should make shirts that say this is why we don't get the book. AJ retained. Not a single title changed hands this pay-per-view. Well, I take that back. The World Heavyweight Championship title probably changed hands. Brock handed it to Rena while he tried to eat his Jimmy John's.
That's the worst sexual pun. Jesus.
What? Handed her? It wasn't a sexual pun. Handed her the belt so he could eat his Jimmy John's.
Oh, I thought you were going with something like, Jimmy being his penis or something.
No. Brock Lesnar was like, here, wife, hold my belt while I self-fillet.
I like that he called Sable wife. Here, wife, hold my belt.
Just like, answer the belt. Oh my God. God damn it.
I think I got Chris with that.
Just got this image.
Got an image
Monster
of a confused
Brock
Sable
Lesnar.
Holding the championship while Brock is bent over blowing himself.
Just like takes a few deep breaths and just like bends in half.
Huh?
Oh, this is one for the best of real. I'm so fucking tired. AJ retains. Doesn't blow herself, tragically.
Damn. Yeah, she hands Punk the belt. Hold this, husband.
Punk's like, oh. Oh, which leads us to... God damn it. The main event, rightfully so. Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose in Hell in a Cell, which started out very familiar.
Yep, Ambrose comes out, climbs the cage. Well, oh, first he fills the ring with just all manner of garbage.
Things to hit Seth with. I had made the mistake of reading WrestleZone right before this match started, so I had read that the next feud for Ambrose was going to be Bray Wyatt. And so at one point, because it's like, I know what's going on, Bray Wyatt's under the ring waiting for something to happen so he can come out and interfere. That's probably how this is going to end.
Hell, as long as the lights went out, he could have just been in the back and they lifted the cage enough for him to roll under.
But I was just thinking all those times, like, Dean, like, threw up the apron to pull something out from under the ring. I was like, how fucking funny would it be if, like, Bray Wyatt's not paying attention? Dean throws that apron up and there's Bray Wyatt like,
shh. You didn't see me.
Follow the buzzards back into the ring, and I'll see you in 5 minutes.
But yeah, after all the pandering, with all the, like, start out with the match on top, and then the table spot, which, as soon as I saw him sitting on the cage ready to go through the tables, I happened to look at the Spanish announce table that was completely cleaned off. There were no monitors. There was nothing on it. I'm like, oh, they're going through the table.
They were both completely cleaned off.
I noticed that about the English table after the spot had happened, and there was no wreckage.
The real champs here, Mercury and Noble, who retired, and they're still told to climb up to the top of the fucking cage.
I made a comment that I want to see them have a show on the network that's them as detectives.
Like really bad detectives? Yeah. I'd watch that.
Kind of like when Bulk and Skull were police?
Yes, exactly. When do Mercury and Noble get turned into chimps?
Around season 3.
Around season 3. I can't wait for the season where Mercury and... fuck it, we'll say Mojo Rawley go to space.
Why Mojo Rawley? Why is he the old scientist?
But Noble doesn't go because he's at home and sleeps through his alarm.
Yeah, poor guy.
But eventually Noble's son trains with Mercury to be a samurai.
Is it the son of Noble and Nydia?
Sure, why not? Fuck it. Why not? Noblidia.
Anyway.
Anyways,
that's our segue for everything. Anyway,
I don't know how I feel about the Hell in a Cell match. I liked it once it got started into the match. I kind of feel like the stretcher spot was a little long because it.
Well, like I said, they were pandering.
Yeah, it didn't need to go on that long. It was obvious that it wasn't going to fucking end there. I think that would have been really shitty if they had even tried
it
to just
took
get...
that long with
well,
Foley.
We don't need a repeat of Foley.
That's all it was. That's my biggest problem. Yeah. It was like, hey, remember when this happened 15 years ago?
Uh-huh.
That's all it was.
And I kind of hate that.
I do a podcast where I make nothing but pop culture references, but anything else references something from the past, and goddamn it, WWE.
good match. I enjoyed it. I would love to see these two, like, I could probably watch these two go at it in a fucking cage match any day of the week. I can't imagine what the match would look like if these two were allowed to do it under, like, Attitude Era restrictions or lack of restrictions, I guess.
Just, like, knowing that Dean Ambrose, as Jon Moxley, was CZW champion and competed in their Tournament of Death, an Attitude Era... Dean Ambrose probably wouldn't be alive right now.
Probably dead now. Yeah. And as you mentioned, Seth Rollins, he'll jump off anything. He's basically a cat.
Yeah, he is. He's a cat human.
He's a cat human. He'll jump off anything, and 9 times out of 10 will land on his feet. Except for that one time he was trying to jump over the barricade. God, remember, that's the most tragic loss of the Shield, was Seth Rollins' flip over the barricade entrance. Where every time it was like, oh, he screwed up, he landed on his face. Oh, nope, that's just how he lands.
Except for the one time where he did land on his face.
Oh, no, that's just how he actually did land on his face that time. And there was always that, like, big spot of water from where his hair hit the ground.
That poor goddamn Roman Reigns had to slog through. Like, would you wring that shit out before you do your flip?
He couldn't. Dean always stole the only towel, wore it around his neck on his way to the ring.
Yes, but then the big moment of the match, was when the lights went out.
Bray Wyatt.
What's that?
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, the lights went out, and there was some weird phrase repeated over and over again, and then there was a lantern in the middle of the ring that did a really cool spot where it spewed smoke out, and, like, this ghost was projected onto it.
A spooky ghost!
Before Bray Wyatt burst through the smoke and beat up Dean Ambrose. For why, we don't know. We still don't know why Bray Wyatt still attacks anybody that he decides to feud with.
Because he's Bray Wyatt. I will say at the time when I saw it, I wasn't a big fan of it, largely because I'm so fucking sick of Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose never getting to have a clean finish in a big match. Well,
this is the first big match that they've had.
I know, that's the fucking problem. No, that's they keep not the teasing, problem. They keep teasing the big match between these two, and every time it's about to get going, it doesn't.
But see, there's heat behind it. And now that Ambrose has his attention on Bray Wyatt, they can drag this out a little bit longer. He has still not gotten his hands on Seth Rollins properly yet.
Seth Rollins can go whine about something else somewhere else now.
I'm Seth Rollins, guys.
I imagine that we'll finally get their big blow-off at WrestleMania.
You think we'll get that Shield triple threat?
I don't think we're going to get the Shield triple threat. Because I still think that they're going to try to go with Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar ruining our Shield triple threat main event. Just kidding. We were never getting a Shield triple threat. There would have to be a lot of injuries between now and then. To get Cena would have to lose an arm.
But yeah, God, what about some of the stuff they have lined up for WrestleMania? I don't want to see. I don't need to. I don't need to see Triple H and The Rock again.
What a terrible decision that is.
Okay, remember how good it was 10 years ago when we were still in our 30s and fit? Well, Rock didn't look like some balloon version of himself.
I imagine, based on how it is now and what they're planning on doing, the WrestleMania card will shape up to be... I agree with Rollins versus Ambrose at some capacity. Although, who knows? He's got to cash in that Money in the Bank at some point.
Yeah, but he's still got, another 2-3 months after WrestleMania to do that.
Does he?
Because you have a year until after you win it. So he has until Money in the Bank to cash it in.
Maybe they'll swerve and he'll be the first one to just accidentally let it expire. Like, what's the date? Oh, fuck. Oh, God damn it. Sorry, guys.
He's just always chased away by Dean Ambrose tonight, right? And they're like, no, Seth, you waited too long.
That would honestly be really cool if that was what they were going for. Yeah. Just one day, it fucking expired. Shit.
Ambrose!
When really, obviously, the way around this is to, well, that would go against the chicken shit heel thing. If he would just be like, schedule a match, Triple H. Mm-hmm. Here's my contract.
No, I think it'd be great if they had Reigns and Lesnar, and these two just big muscle-bound guys just beat the dog shit out of each other. Reigns ends up winning, and then Rollins cashes in. There's never been a cash-in at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and okay, we're finally getting the belt on some new blood here with Roman Reigns, and then the chicken shit heel comes in and steals it from him.
That'd be a good moment. I'd like to see that. I won't lie. I imagine it will be Reigns and Lesnar. I'm going with the assumption that Bryan's not going to be back anytime soon.
No, it's they're still he might need another surgery, but he might not.
And like I said, it could go either way. You may or may not remember when they were like, John Cena is going to be out for 6 months, and then 3 weeks later, John Cena will be back Sunday.
But that's John Cena.
That's John Cena. But they're going to try to keep Daniel Bryan coming back as much of a surprise as they can. And that would include sending out false reports saying he has to have some kind of major surgery. Mm-hmm. I take everything with a grain of salt. I don't necessarily believe the talk about him having to have that Tommy John surgery done. Largely because I've not seen it from an official source. I don't see a credible site mention it. I don't see a statement from Brian or Brie or the WWE or anybody. I just see dirt sheets going, Daniel Bryan may have to have another surgery.
Mm-hmm. And it's all speculative bullshit. Like, he might, but he might not. They're not sure.
and again, WWE have pulled this shit before where they kind of float a false report out there and then go, gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? And I imagine Cena's place on the card will be with fucking Rusev, because somebody in the WWE apparently has a hard-on for Cena versus Rusev.
Who this person is, I have no idea.
It's probably John Cena. It's
fucking Kevin Dunn.
I want to beat him up.
It's fucking Kevin Dunn.
Fucking Kevin Dunn. No, they should fight.
We still more Jim Cornette's gimmicks.
Sorry, Jim. Who am I kidding? You don't fucking listen to this podcast.
He does, and he's planning on suing you.
Do you think Jim Cornette even knows what a podcast is?
Well, he records like three of them, so I would assume so.
Oh, does he? Oh, I didn't know that. Hey, in other kind of shocking WWE news, Elimination Chamber, it's gone.
What?
You didn't read that?
No.
The Elimination Chamber is done. It's gone. They announced it. Or it was mentioned backstage at SmackDown. Elimination Chamber is no more. They are getting rid of that pay-per-view. They are replacing that pay-per-view, rather.
Replacing that pay-per-view, but we still have fucking Hell in the Cell.
That was kind of my thing. I was like, I'd rather put fucking Elimination Chamber in the Hell in a Cell spot and then drop that. Meltzer confirmed the report. The replacement pay-per-view is supposedly going to be called either WWE Fast Lane or Fast Track.
Fast Times at WWE High.
I don't... Maybe it's beat the clock matches all night long? Oh, I don't even want to say that. I'm going to cut that out of the podcast. I don't want to risk like Triple H hearing that and going, that could be fun. We could time that out real easy.
So they're taking a show that has a decent gimmick behind it and giving it another bullshit generic name like Battleground or Payback or...
It's not even a bullshit over the generic limit. Name. Fastlane makes no sense. They're wrestlers. They're not racers unless it's like a racing wrestling show. Maybe it's like Mario Kart Double Dash where like one wrestler drives the car and the other one stands on the back and has to like grapple with everybody else who drives by.
If they're throwing blue shells at each other.
Spoiler alert, John Cena no sells the blue shell.
That sucks, though, because I actually really enjoyed the Elimination Chamber.
I know. That's not the one I want to go. I want Hell in a Cell to go away. If you have to do like a cage match pay-per-view, you should do a fucking cage match pay-per-view, not Hell in a Cell. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, TNA did that, and...
Yeah.
We're gonna have every single match in a cage because we're too lazy to get guys out there to take it down.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
One last thing to get us out of the way. Have you seen the WWE 2K14 power ratings that have been confirmed?
Uh-uh.
For those of you who don't know, and I'm sure this will jog your memory because I can hear that tone of "What the fuck are you talking about?" in your voice. every wrestler has a power rating in the WWE games on a scale. It's technically 0 to 100, but I think the lowest is like 60 something.
Chris is so mad at me all the time.
I'm so mad at Mike all the time. It's because you poop shoot. What?
I hear that in your voice that you know something, but you're being an asshole about it. You shit eater.
Wow, Mike, that's probably what's wrong with your bowels. Easy, Chris. If you're eating a lot of shit. If you're eating a lot of shit. Anyways, some of these...
You just repeat that, don't.
if you're eating a lot of shit. Mike eats shit constantly, frequently. Shit burritos. He just... They come out like they go in.
I'm eating it right now.
Shit burritos. Shit-ritos. What a great podcast this has been.
A little bit of Power Rangers, power... a lot of Hell in the Cell.
And shit burritos. Here's some of those power ratings for WWE 2K14. I thought some of them were interesting.
You mean 15?
Yeah, 15. The next one, 15. Yeah. Anyways, at 95, so far the strongest one confirmed for the game. Quick, who do you think it is?
Undertaker.
HBK.
What?
HBK, 95. At 93, one notch below HBK. Quick, who do you think it is?
John Cena.
Sheamus.
Wow.
At 91, below HBK and Sheamus, it is?
Hulk Hogan?
The Rock. At 90, you have Stone Cold Steve Austin, 2012 Daniel Bryan, and Randy Orton.
Hold on. We're going to get two Daniel Bryans?
Evidently. I guess you're going to have
two Daniel Bryans and one of them stronger than the other.
one of them has a weak right arm. I imagine you're going to get, like, bearded Daniel Bryan and not bearded, like, heeled world heavyweight
that
champion
Bryan. Just be two costume slots. They don't need roster spots for that bullshit.
But no, they got to, like, change his moveset to reflect the veganism. At 89, you have Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. At 86, you have Sami Zayn. 85, you have both Usos. It's kind of a shame. I wish they'd do a tag team like that, but they'd make one stronger than the other. I don't know how you would, though, because the Usos are basically interchangeable. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell them apart. And they got, like, face paint, so you could tell them apart, and I still don't know which one's which.
They've tried to explain it based on their tattoos.
Yeah.
One of them has a sleeve tattoo, and the other doesn't. I'm like, I don't know which one.
I don't care. At 84, Bad
You're
News
racist
Barrett.
Against the Samoans.
Yep, at 84, Bad News Barrett, The Miz and Rey Mysterio and R-Truth and Ryback. So remember, in this game, Bad News Barrett, The Miz, Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, and Ryback are all on the same playing field. Which is one step below the Usos.
Wait, what? Is this correct? I'm on the 2K15 Wikipedia, which doesn't mean nothing, but it's saying Kurt Angle is in this game.
I have heard nothing of the sort about that.
And his power rating is 94, apparently.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I've heard nothing of the sort.
I mean, yeah, like I said, it's on Wikipedia, so who knows? But who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that being said, the roster would have been finalized months ago when Angle was still under contract?
Keep talking.
At an 83, you have Titus O'Neil and Xavier Woods, and then Darren Young coming in at 81. As far as divas go, both Bellas are in 83. AJ is in 82, as is Natalya, weaker than both Bellas.
Okay. It's being reported that there was a screenshot with Kurt Angle in 2K15, but the screenshot is from that Impact game that we talked about.
Huh!
So,
it's kind of sad that they, 6-year-old game can be inserted into the new WWE, and graphically you can't tell the difference.
Well, I mean, I can't find the screenshot, so I don't know how... They could have just blurred it up and been like, look, it's Kurt Angle. See, he's got the whole, like, Stars and Stripes gimmick.
Maybe what it could have been, too, I did see a screenshot with Jack Swagger. And it wouldn't be hard for somebody with, like, a little bit of Photoshop skill to make that look like Kurt Angle. Because it was, like, from behind. So, and let's be honest, Jack Swagger is just Kurt Angle light at this point.
Except Kurt Angle won matches.
And Jack Swagger versus Brock Lesnar in an Iron Man match. That would be the most depressing thing to watch. Just an hour of Brock Lesnar just roughhousing Jack Swagger. He'd probably knock that lisp out of him, though.
If they actually let him wrestle, it probably wouldn't be too bad.
Maybe.
Because they are both, like, actual wrestlers.
Yeah.
Disregard that Kurt Angle in the game. Thing. I just saw it on the Wikipedia page and was like,
don't listen to Mike's bullshit rumor supporting. He's such an asshole.
See, again, with the anger.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you have a happy Halloween. Make sure you go to youtube.com/homeworldvideo and watch Mortal Kombat. On this note, I leave you...
Which we are going to record right now.
I leave you with this final note. Mike, did you know there is a skeleton inside of you right now?
What? Get it out!
Happy Halloween, everybody. Go watch the Ultimate Warrior's favorite movie, Hocus Pocus. That's a callback that only Tarv gets.
Don't watch that over.
Good night, everybody.